California's digging out after the worst disaster in years, while other parts of the country continue to reel under the impact of the most unusual winter and spring weather in history. Certainly, our hearts go out and our prayers are with those that have suffered loss of life and property. However, today is Easter Sunday, the most triumphal day in the calendar of the Christian Church. The word Easter comes from the Anglo-Saxon word Estera, who was a Teutonic goddess to whom sacrifice was offered in April. So the name was transferred eventually to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The word Easter occurs only once in the New Testament, but there is no trace of an Easter celebration as we know it anywhere in the New Testament. The celebration of Easter actually began with the early Jewish Christians who continued to celebrate the Passover, regarding Christ as the true Paschal Lamb, and this naturally passed over into a commemoration of the death and resurrection of our Lord. Down through the years, the actual date of Easter has changed from time to time. Since about the 16th century, it has been celebrated on the first Sunday following the full moon after the first day of spring. Thus, the resurrection of Christ is symbolized by the shining bright Easter apparel, the gay colors of laughing daffodils, the fresh green of the countryside breaking forth from the brown death of winter. But most of all, his resurrection is symbolized in the high hopes that beat in the hearts of believers everywhere as they sing triumphantly, "Christ the Lord is risen today." It was the message that Jesus lives that lifted Christianity out of the category of dead superstitions and archaic religions and made it the dominant faith of multiplied thousands of searchers after truth. When the glorious truth that Christ was risen was whispered in the streets of Jerusalem and spread to the marketplaces of Corinth and Antioch, it came like an electric shock which awakened devout men in every quarter of the world to the fact that Jesus was indeed the Lord Christ, the Savior of the world. The resurrection became the central theme of the apostles' preaching. Within 50 days of the death of Christ and the apparent collapse of his cause, the city of Jerusalem rang with the clarion cries of men who with all boldness declared that God had raised him from the dead and that they were his witnesses. Craven cowards were changed into courageous confessors, and rude, unlettered fishermen from Galilee had become royal heralds of the king, so that all who saw and heard them were compelled to acknowledge that something had happened which had utterly transformed their lives. When questioned by their critics, the apostles had no hesitancy in making reply. They account for their own boldness by attributing everything to the risen Christ. The resurrection was the keynote of Peter's sermon at Pentecost, which inspired 3,000 people to confess Christ as Lord. It was the dominant note in all of Paul's preaching. Everywhere Paul went, he declared, "God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power." This true, valid, earth-shaking fact, proclaimed with heart-piercing conviction, was the axle and wheels of the early Christian church. The truth of Easter has more than religious and spiritual implications. When its truth dawns upon us, it is capable of transforming our individual lives and thus having an impact on our society. The world would not be in such a tragic state as it is today if men everywhere believed that Jesus Christ actually is alive. Thousands of Christians went to church this morning to hear sermons on the resurrection. But how many of us actually believe that Christ is alive? What a transforming difference it would make in each of our daily lives if we actually believe that he lives. On Easter 1945, the Germans and Allies were facing each other in bloody conflict on the Italian front. The Americans put up loudspeakers that could easily be heard by the Germans. They announced in German that they were going to have an Easter service and asked the Germans to cease their firing and listen as the Easter story would be read and preached in both German and English. Hostilities ceased. Both armies were in sight of the field altar. As a hushed silence fell over the battlefront, Chaplain Reboth of Seward, Nebraska, read over the loudspeakers the Easter story. A stunned hush fell over the field of battle, which a few hours before had been an Armageddon of destruction. The spirit that raised up Christ from the dead had a transforming effect even in the midst of the most bloody war of history. What a difference it would make in domestic and international affairs if men believed that Christ had risen again. What a transformation of our homes would take place. What a difference there would be in America's deteriorating morals. What a lessening of tensions there would be. And what an increase of purpose and power in our lives if we actually believe that Christ is alive today. The greatest news that was ever flashed from heaven to earth is that Christ the Lord is risen. When Samuel Morse, the inventor of the telegraph, sent his first message by wire, he telegraphed these words, "What God hath wrought." On that first Easter day, the angel at the tomb delivered the most important message that ever fell on the ears of mankind. He is not here. He is risen. The power of those words changed the course of history, brought hope to a hopeless world, and gave believing men a purpose and a power they had never known before. This is a day of power. When men of science have developed machines that smash through space and hurl spheres beyond the pull of Earth's gravity. This is a day when men have harnessed the basic power of the universe and have used it in weapons that have a high potential of death and destruction. But this kind of power has made the world no better. It has not solved the riddle of human evil. It has not coped with the problems that threaten the peace and security of the world's peoples. We have a feast of mechanical power, but a famine of spiritual dynamics. If on this Easter of 1958 we do not rediscover the power of Christ's resurrection, as a civilization we stand on the dark abyss of annihilation and destruction. But some will ask, what relevance has Easter and the resurrection of Christ to our problems of 1958? I answer by saying that it can have everything to do with our problems, for he is alive forevermore. And being alive forevermore, the risen Christ can do today what he did for men who received and believed him in days gone by. First of all, it is the power of the resurrection that saves and redeems the individual. Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." I've seen hundreds and thousands of men and women who were among the living dead. Life to them had become a hollow mockery and sham. It had lost its purpose and meaning. They groveled in misery and loneliness, bored, fed up, with no zest for living. I've seen them come in simple, trusting faith into the presence of the living Christ. There they have put their trembling hands into the strong hands of the crucified. I've seen them in the glow of the living Christ step out of their casket of broken hopes and dreams and become happy, useful, integrated human beings full of purpose and power. Jesus' words have not changed. Time has not robbed them of their power. When the dead hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. The Christ who once lived upon this tiny planet still lives today, raising all those who believe from their lifelessness and purposelessness, redeeming, forgiving, and saving them from a depraved quality of living that is worse than death. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ and hath raised us up together. Have you been raised up to a new life in Christ? You that are discouraged and despondent today, you that are bored with living, you that are beset by sin and temptation, you that are dead in trespasses and in sins, you that lie at death's door on some bed, you that have annoying fear and insecurity, you that have psychological and mental problems to cope with, I tell you on the authority of the Bible that the risen Christ can raise you out of your spiritual lifelessness and transform you, as the coming of spring will transform a seemingly dead cocoon into a beautiful multicolored butterfly. Secondly, it is the power of the resurrection that empowers us to live victoriously in this life. The living Christ is able to bring all your energies and powers into focus and help you to be conquerors over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Bible says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." When Lord Nelson in the Battle of the Nile sent home to England his dispatches, he wrote, "Victory is not a name strong enough for such a scene as this. With the risen Christ as our commander-in-chief, we can say with Paul, we are more than overcomers through him that loved us." The Christian who walks with the living, resurrected Christ can say in the words of Nelson, "Victory is not a name strong enough for such a life as this." Lila Trotman at Dawson Trotman's funeral was calm, serene, and radiant as she stood at the head of her beloved husband's casket, smiling hopefully as she greeted friends with confidence in the living Christ. What a contrast to all who, weeping hysterically, have to be put under sedation, hopeless in the finality of their despair, knowing nothing of the glorious certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have exciting news for all of those who are limping under the burden of life's load. After the resurrection, Jesus phrased a promise that is yours for the taking. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." There is encouragement for the discouraged. There is hope for the hopeless. There is help for the helpless. He, the living Christ, has promised to be with those who take him as their Lord and Savior. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you today. The moment you receive him as Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and takes up residence. He gives you supernatural power to overcome temptation, to smile through the tears, to have lightness of heart in the midst of life's burdens and trials. If your burdens are greater than you can bear, if your problems are beyond you, and if your cares are crushing you, it is only because you have not reached out and taken the Christ of Easter to your heart. God wants you to have his power today. He longs to give it to you. However, he finds it impossible if you resist and are not willing. You must by faith open your heart. And when you come to the cross of Christ for forgiveness of sin, the Holy Spirit raises you from the mundane, monotonous, and hopeless to a new, thrilling, adventuresome life filled with dynamic power. Thousands of you that are under the care of physicians or psychiatrists could find a glorious spiritual cure in the person of the risen Christ and his power for living. It is the same power available to you that raised Christ from the dead. Thirdly, it is the power of the resurrection that gives hope. A few years ago, a submarine sank off Provincetown. As soon as possible, divers descended. They walked about the disabled ship, endeavoring to find some signs of life within. At last, they heard a gentle tapping. Listening intently, they recognized the dots and dashes of the Morse code. These were the words spelled out: "Is there hope? Is there hope?" This is the constant cry of humanity, and Easter is the answer to that cry. The New Testament is the textbook of hope. The word occurs over and over after Christ was risen from the dead. It was the resurrection of Christ that set off a chain reaction of hope in the world. Thomas Carlyle once wrote, "Man is based on hope. He has no other possession but hope. And Christian hope is the one lone ray of light on the foreboding clouds of despair that canopy our world." Take that away from man, and he reverts to the level of the beast. On the purely human level, there is little hope in the world. International tensions become more complex and insoluble with every passing day. Crime, immorality, and lawlessness seem to be increasing daily. Wrong seems to be winning, and right seems to be losing in the battle for the minds and hearts of the world's peoples. The whole world has been reading in the last few days of the sickness of Sir Winston Churchill. Today we read that he's back in London feeling fine again. I shall never forget my interview with him 4 years ago. He asked me somewhat wistfully and thoughtfully, "Young man, do you see any hope for the world?" That is the question upon the lips of thousands today. Only the Bible has the answer. I can tell you truthfully, as I've talked to scores of the world's leading statesmen, privately, they see little hope. It has been my privilege to outline to them the glorious hope that the living Christ can bring to the individual and to the world. The scripture says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten unto us a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." We Americans are victims of a misplaced faith. We've put our faith in weapons, engines, machines, stocks, bonds, gadgets, pleasures, and thrills. We're on a detour from decency because we've tried to bypass God. Our entire intellectual and educational system is in trouble today because we left God out. We left the Ten Commandments out. We've left the Sermon on the Mount out. We've left the redemptive aspect of the gospel out. We followed the disciples of John Dewey and Sigmund Freud, and now we're reaping the tragic results. But there is hope in the Easter message today. The doctor did not think the dying daughter would hear when he said to the mother, "Poor child, she's seen her best days." But she heard him and said, "No, doctor, I haven't seen my best days. My best days are still to come, when I shall see the King in all his glory." There is hope for all in Christ today. To thousands of you elderly people who may not have much longer in this life, there is hope beyond the grave, because the same power that raised Christ from the dead will also raise you from the dead. Death becomes only a veil, only a river to cross, and on the other side is heaven, home, and Christ. One moment you say goodbye here, and the next moment, hello there. I do not know what people outside of Christ do. There must be an utter hopelessness. No wonder one of our leading financiers committed suicide a few weeks ago. There just is no hope outside of Christ. If Christ be not risen, then all of life is a riddle, an unsolvable mystery, and a cruel mockery. I beg of you to receive Christ today. A few days ago in Miami, there was a tragic plane crash in which many people lost their lives. The only ones who were saved were the ones who were in the tail section of the plane and who had fastened their seatbelts. As the passengers had entered the plane that morning, they were all confronted with a decision. Shall I turn to the right or to the left? The ones who turned to the right and found their places in the tail, which proved to be a place of safety, were saved. The ones who followed the majority and turned to the left were lost. Today, humanity is facing a decision. You individually are faced with a decision. Will you turn to the right, though you may be counted with the few who make that choice and be saved? Or will you turn to the left and be lost? Easter, with its message of resurrection power, brings you face to face with the living Christ. Will you take him and the life that he alone can give, or will you reject him and be lost? Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will take the triumphal message of Easter, burn it into our souls, and may the hope of this glorious day burn within our hearts forever as we come to know the resurrected Christ in all of his power. In Jesus' name, amen.